Today, we are concluding our More Than Enough series. We have learned that God is more than enough for us, that God provides for every need, and that God is with us always. We have learned that sometimes we are the more than enough in somebody's life, and that God gives us life so that we might be a blessing to another. And do you remember what you learned last week? Did you learn about a recipe? Did you use it? Oh, there's a truth teller in the house. There's a truth teller in the house this morning that said, Today on this Christ the King Sunday, we celebrate that Jesus the Christ is the King of us all. And we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 31 through 46. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition this morning. You can find it in your electronic devices or on the screens as we read the gospel together this morning. And I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the gospel today. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You who are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here we are to say that we are indeed yours. So speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. We have not come to hear a word from Pastor Jasmine, but we have come expecting to hear you speak into our hearts and our minds and our souls. So speak, Lord. Holy Ghost, have your way. And hide this, your servant, behind that old rugged cross so that everything that is said and everything that is heard comes straight from you. This is your servant's prayer. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In 2002... Dr. Peter Gomes was the dean of the chapel at Harvard University. He, at that point, had been the dean for about 30 years. And Peter Gomes, at that time, was one of the world's foremost theological thinkers, or thinkers and preachers about the Almighty God. Reverend Dr. Gomes wrote several books, including the New York bestseller book called The Good Book. But my favorite of his was gifted to me when I was a freshman at Spelman College, right around the corner. And the book that I still own today is called The Good Life: Truths That Last in Time of Need. Now, I have to tell you, when I started to read this book, I wanted to know why someone would give me this book. I mean, it starts talking like this. It says, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way." 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. And then Dr. Gomes goes on to say that in June 2001, the undergraduate speaker at Harvard University got up and invoked a litany of great Harvard graduates. He called the names of John Adams and John Quincy Adams, Theodore Roosevelt and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, W.E.B. Du Bois, Helen Keller, and John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And the speaker then asked the crowd a question. He said, "What do they all have in common?" He said, "Dead. They are all dead." And now the world belongs to us. What will we do with it? I remember 2002 like it was yesterday. It was an important time. I had just come home from Choate World's Mary Hall, where the John Fitzgerald Kennedy had matriculated, and we'd had great speakers. And then I came back home to Atlanta to Spelman College, and during Spelman's freshman orientation, the Twin Towers came down. 9/11. Don't you remember? And in 2002, everything was uncertain. Everybody had questions. It was earth-shattering. The world that we thought that we lived in, the safety of the American dream was shattered. It didn't seem to exist for just that time. The stock market crashed. Wall Street went black. It was covered in smoke. And all the things that seemed important to the people of God seemed to pass away. Lots of people thought before 2002 that they had the good life. They had achieved the best of life. They worked hard. And their time, their life was paying off from their labors. But that undergraduate speaker at Harvard, he goes on to say in that speech that in our generation, everybody thought we were good. We were one of the brightest generations to ever live. We scored the highest on tests. We did the best in school. Even in kindergarten, they taught us to read on computers with Reader Rabbit, and they taught us to use our brains. As long as you get to the answer, your way is the right way. The good life. We made it. The talented 10th were peacocking across the yard. Everybody's pockets seemed to be okay. Our economic world was strong. Our health was strong. Church attendance was strong. It looked like we were living the good life. But the Harvard speaker goes on to say, our generation was harboring a secret. We knew we were not good. No, we were not as surprised as our grandparents when the Twin Towers came down. We were shocked, sad, but not surprised. Because your secrets, they have a way of catching up with you. And our generation knew that we were not living the good life that it looked like on the outside. So many teachers of the Bible have taught us that if we are nice people, then we will reap our reward in heaven. They have taught us that if we follow the rules of society, then we will be good with God. They have taught us that if we make good grades and get along in school, if we apply to the best colleges and get into at least one of our top 10, then we have met our role. If we have a pension or health benefits, if we can put gas in our car and go to work every day, and if we show up at church 0.5 times a month, that's the statistic, y'all. We now come to church 0.5 times a month. We are good. But Jesus gives us a different definition of good. Jesus gives us a different definition of the good life. What Jesus says is, let me tell you a story you'll understand. When Jesus would have told this story, he would have been in Palestine. And in Palestine, at that time, the shepherds would have had mixed herds. There would have been sheep and goats in the same herds, and they would have been going up the side of the same mountains. And at night, the shepherds would have separated them to keep everybody safe. So Jesus isn't just coming up with this story out of the blue. Jesus is sitting down with the people and telling them something that is familiar to them. During the day, the sheep and the goats, they hang out together and we move around and we do what we're supposed to do. And at night, the sheep go to their side of the pasture and the goats go to their side of the pasture. And everybody behaves. But then Jesus turns it on his head. He's already told us that he is the good shepherd. Not just the shepherd, but the good shepherd. The shepherd who knows how to do his job. The shepherd who gets it together and gets it right. He has told us that he is the good shepherd. But now on Christ the King Sunday, we understand that not only is Christ the good shepherd, but he is also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When clergy go before the Board of Ordained Ministry to become your pastors in the United Methodist Church, one of the questions that they are asked to write about and to respond to verbally as they sort of defend their papers is Jesus Lord? Is Christ King? And if so, who is Jesus Lord of? Lots of people struggle with this question, I have to tell you. But spoiler alert, here's the answer. Jesus is Lord of all, whether you say so or not. Christ is King of all, whether we want to be or not. So King Jesus says to the people who are gathered together, he says, you know how the sheep and the goats hang out and then we have to separate them? God is going to do that too. Those of you who understand the good life, you get to live it forever. And those of you who think you have the good life, enjoy it now. Because this is it. Jesus says to us, the good life is feeding those who are hungry. That's different from what I heard. He said the good life, if you want to spend your life with God here on earth and into eternity, you give people who are hungry food. You give people who are thirsty something to drink. If they are a stranger, you welcome them. If they are naked, you give them something to wear. If they are sick, you take care of them. If they are in prison, you visit them. And then there's a twist. Oh, King Jesus, when did we see you and not give you what you needed? And Jesus said, whatever you did to those people that you hate, whatever you did to those people that get on your last nerve, whatever you did to those people that you disagree with, whatever you did to those people that stink, whatever you did to those people that are hungry, whatever you did to those people that are out of their minds, whatever you did to those people who were in the hospital, whatever you did to those people who needed to be in the hospital but couldn't afford it, whatever you did to the least of these, that is what you did to me, your king. That's a reorientation of the good life. Jesus doesn't say anything here about when you achieve your 501, your retirement plan. He doesn't say anything about living in the right zip code. He doesn't say anything about your ability to feed people. He just says, do it. The good life. Is a life that welcomes all of God's people and sees God's people as Christ the King himself. Now, I will tell you from personal experience that this is not an easy life. Last Sunday I left here, I was on a high from worship and looking forward to my mom sitting at my mom's dining room table for Thanksgiving, because Reverend Dr. Jackie Rose Tucker can throw down, y'all. And can't wait to get home to the leftovers this afternoon. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And I got to Linden right before 75, and a guy comes across my car in a wheelchair. And I rolled down my window, and I'm like, bruh, I don't have any cash, but I have some water. How about some water? And you know what he told me? He said, where the quarters? You got some quarters? I said, sir, I'm giving everything I have out. I have nothing else but this water. Do you want the water? Bleepity bleep, 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 bleep to you. And I said, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Whew, this light better turn green before Jasmine shows up and Pastor Jasmine goes to rest. The Lord did not say, feed those who are grateful. You can say ouch, it's okay. The Lord did not say, give something to drink to those who, well, want the drink. The Lord didn't say, give a coat to somebody who you were absolutely sure needed that coat. The Lord said, the good life is a generous life. And the generous life cannot be categorized by your opinion of someone else. Did you hear that this morning? The Lord said that the good life is the generous life, and the generous life is not determined by you. It's not determined by who gets what you give. The generous life is determined by your response to Jesus saying, treat everybody as if they were me. Why don't we do it? She said it's hard. Fear. If I roll down my window, will you snatch my purse? We don't do it because it's hard, because we're scared. Will I have enough for me? Will I be able to eat? If I give, I won't be able to hoard. And if I don't hoard, I won't have what I need. Even though we say that we trust God to supply our needs according to God's riches and glory. In the Old Testament, the Abrahamic covenant gave us a formula to do what God has asked us to do. Bring your first fruits into the storehouse so that there might be room in my house, and I'll pour out a blessing that you do not have room to receive. This is something we don't talk a lot about in church anymore. It's a word that begins with T, tithe. In the Old Testament, people brought the first 10% of whatever God gave them into the house of God. And over again in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and as a result of Pentecost, as a result of the birth of the church, you know what the best part of the Pentecost story is? And nobody had a need, because they all shared together what God gave them. You know why it's cold in here this morning? Because we don't tithe. We tip God, and we feel good about it. We give the DoorDash driver more than we give to the Lord who gives us life. And we do need to do that. We do need to be generous, because the DoorDash driver is trying to make a living. And we also do things that we don't need to do instead of giving God what is God's. don't know about you, but I sat on my couch yesterday with my iPad going through all the sales. I put a whole lot of stuff in online carts. And the Lord had jokes because every time I went to check out, there was some kind of error. Sold out, Miss Ruby. Online store can't process at this time. Don't accept that form of payment. And what the Lord was saying very clearly is, quit it with the stuff. Treasure my people more than you love your stuff. That's what Christ the King Sunday is about. Living in such a way that Christ is truly the head of our lives. You know what's in charge of your life? Whatever is most important to you. You know whatever is most important to you? Whatever you get upset about when it doesn't go your way. This morning, I overslept a little bit. I'm not ashamed to tell you. And I asked Alexa, make sure she's not talking. I asked Alexa, what's the weather in Atlanta today? She said, well, it's mostly cloudy. It's going to rain later. It's about 50 degrees right now. It's going to be a high of 58, but bundle up because it's going to be in the 40s tonight. But Dr. Bob, I went to look at the screen that had just told me that it was going to be 58 degrees, and guess what the screen said? That the weather, the high was 10 degrees in Atlanta, and the low was 0 degrees in Atlanta. You can't count on your stuff. You have to count on King Jesus. And don't worry about counting on King Jesus if you're not interested in serving the Lord. God is not a genie in a bottle. God does not exist to give you whatever you want, when you want, how you want it, where you want it. You were created by God to live a generous life and to make sure that none among us are thrown by the wayside. Between the people in this room and the people online, we have more than we need. And yet I spend more time trying to make the ends meet for this ministry than I do being able to get in your individual homes and work and hospitals and that, because I've got to figure out the administrative stuff. Because we don't do what we're supposed to do to honor God. Is Christ your king or not? Does fear run your life or not? Does self-gratification, the need to have what I want, things to go my way, the doubt that if I give, I won't have enough? Or do we trust in God to be more than enough. Whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. Whatever you did not do to the least of these, you did not do to me. Wherever you spent your time, that was your king. Wherever you spent your energy, that was your king. Wherever you spent God's resources, that was your king. And yet, the good life is that God is more than enough. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen.